I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We welcome you to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the salvation of the lost and the revival of God's people. I'm Alan Mashburn, your Bible teacher and the pastor of Asbury Baptist Church, located at 218 Asbury Church Road in Seagrove, North Carolina. We invite you to visit our church at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. On Sunday evenings, we provide online services which can be viewed on gospeldynamite.org. Now please join me in the study of the Word of God. You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us. We ask that you take your Bible and turn with us to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through 21 as Paul had been thinking about the body, and today he's thinking about the brethren. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." This whole chapter is a plea for believers to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. Verses 1 and 2 are about thinking about the believer. We are to consider our own life and get it where it really needs to be. Verses 3 through 8, Paul is thinking about the body. Those verses have to do with our place in the whole body of Christ. They are a challenge for us to fulfill our God-given role in being everything the Lord has saved us to be. Now in verses 9 through 21, continues the theme Paul is addressing in this chapter, and now he's going to speak for a while concerning thinking about the brethren. These verses are filled with challenges for the child of God to live together before the Lord and the world as a God-honoring family. Now notice with me in verses 9 through 15, we see our actions toward the brethren. We are to love the brethren with an honest love that knows no pretense. It's to be a genuine love. It's to be genuine just like our Savior had for us. Again, we're to love one another, according to verse 10, with a faithful devotion. And the kind of love referred to here is that which can only be found in the closest of families. And since we are a family, we should love one another as family. Also noted in verse 10, we are commanded to put others ahead of our own selves. It's shameful what some people will do to get their own way in a matter. God's way is that we seek our brother's best interest in every situation. God has promised to look after us if we will seek him first and follow his rules. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, God issues a promise that is still valid today in 2021. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now in verse 11, believers are to be diligent. In our dealings with others, we are not to be slow or lazy. Paul is speaking of our duty to our business associates. But this command transcends all of life. We are to be diligent in whatever work our hands find themselves doing, whether it's secular or spiritual. We are not to be procrastinators, but we are to be busily engaged in our work. By the way, this word carries the idea of someone being hard to deal with. We should be a pleasure to deal with because we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Also in verse 13, a believer is to be helpful. Now these sentiments may seem elementary, but they are so important in our world today. Because in reality, many of us, I dare say all of us, have our times that we act like children. The idea of this phrase in verse 13 is that we are to enter into the burdens of our fellow believers. We're to help them as their needs arise. And that's a command of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Now, instead of building walls between us, according to verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. Instead of building walls between us and others, we're to reach out as true friends do. The idea is that of being available to the family of God. Verse 13, the Bible says, "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not." We're to be kind. Regardless of what another throws at us as we pass through this life, our reaction should always be that of tolerance to others and obedience to Christ. Let us never reach the place where we enter into a mudslinging contest with a fellow believer. It is so easy to do, and we should never do that to an unbeliever as well. Satan would love for us to get involved in a mudslinging contest with the unsaved, and it's so easy to do in our world today. The command here is to be pleasant and kind to others regardless of what they may do to us. Now that's difficult. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now, verse 15, the Bible says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Paul illustrates here that we are to be compassionate. Since we're all members of the same body, according to verse 5, we should have a compassion for our fellow believer that causes us to hurt when he hurts, and to rejoice when he rejoices. Instead of being jealous when another is blessed, we are to be excited for and with them because of the Lord's grace and the Lord's goodness that's been bestowed on their life. Instead of being indifferent when a time of crisis arises in the life of our brother, we are to endeavor to enter into his need and help him carry his load. Now, you'll notice that these things are merely ways in which the church can demonstrate Christ-like love for one another. It is a way to show the world the reality of our claims that we are a changed people. God has not only changed our minds, God has changed our hearts. And it's a way to glorify Jesus Christ in the church and in front of the world. That's what Paul is saying here. We're not to just tout that we've been changed by Jesus. We are to live as if we have truly been changed by Jesus. Then notice our spiritual actions. That is, Paul helps us in equipping us to be a blessing. Now, verse 9, we're told to be holy. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. In our personal walk before the Lord, we are to hate the evil and be glued to that which is right. Let us be careful how we conduct ourselves. The Lord's desire is that we be a holy people, not a perfect people, a holy people that desire from their innermost being to please the Lord God. Now, verse 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The word fervent means to be boiling and bubbling. It carries the idea of the bubbling sound water makes when it is boiled. The idea is that we are to be making some excited noise for the glory of God. When we are in a vital, real relationship with the Lord Jesus, there will be some excitement in our hearts. It is the opposite of deadness and stagnation. This world is looking for something that is real, and the Christian should determine in their heart that they will never be dull, boring, dead, lifeless as a believer. But we must decide that we will come alive spiritually so that Jesus might be exalted. It doesn't mean that you make a fool out of yourself. It doesn't mean that you jump five pews. It means that you are making the noise of a believer that is alive in Christ Jesus. Verse 11 calls for us to be faithful, serving the Lord. The word serving means to be in the position of a servant to act accordingly. When we were saved, we were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. We belong to Christ. We belong to Jesus Christ. We are to be His faithful servants. We have no business being engaged in any other business. When the Lord looks at our lives, He should find us actively engaged in faithfully doing His will from our hearts. Verse 12 reminds us that we're to be rejoicing. Rejoicing in hope. The believer has a reason to be happy. The believer has a reason to smile. Our sins are forgiven. We're going to heaven when Jesus comes or by way of the grave. We have hope. We have an earnest expectation. We have been saved. We have been forgiven. We're heaven bound. We are pilgrims in this world. Jesus Christ is coming for us. John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Never forget what the Lord has done for you. Never forget what the Lord has brought us through. Never forget what the Lord has brought us from. But my friend, never forget where the Lord's taking us. He's going to take us to be with Him in glory. The Bible says in verse 12 that we should be a hopeful people. We should be a hopeful people because we have hope. The idea here is that we're to be steadfast under the pressures of life. We're not to allow the things that arise in our lives drive us away from God. The saint is to keep his eyes on the Lord Jesus, knowing that the Lord is working out his will every day and that he is seeking the best for his people all of the time. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Verse 12 also says that we're to be continuing instant in prayer. We're to be prayerful. The idea here is that the saints are to be involved in a prayer life that is vibrant, that is consistent. Prayer is the lifeline of the believer, and too often it is neglected. If you feel disconnected from heaven and you wonder what in the world God is doing, the line has never been disconnected in heaven. The line is always having the trouble here on the earth. You must connect back to God and plug back into the prayer life and the prayer room and get that connection going and praying to Him. God has never moved, and He's never forsaken you, and He's never neglected you. Prayer is the lifeline of the believer. Never neglected. Let us never forget that God will bless the praying person and God blesses the praying church. Pray, pray. And when you get tired, pray some more. Verses 16 and 17, we see that our attitudes toward the brethren is to be as if we are a family. Bible says in verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. The basic admonition here is the same that's been mentioned earlier. We're to operate as a family with each member feeling the hurts and the afflictions of one another. We're never to allow ourselves to become aloof and disconnected from our Christian family. This is a plea for humility, unity, compassion among the members of God's family. Verse 16 also tells us that we're to walk in fellowship. None in this family of faith should feel that they're better than one another. We're all cut from the same cloth, saved by the same blood, and headed to the same heaven. We're to stand together as one, working for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one in the Christian faith, there's no one under the sound of my voice that has the right to think that they're better than anyone else. Verse 17 says that we're to walk in forgiveness. Recompense to no man, evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. According to Jesus, there will be times when we become offended by the words or deeds of another, according to Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. When they do, we are not to respond by seeking or to get even with the offending party. Instead, we're commanded to practice forgiveness one toward another. Whether they ask forgiveness or seek forgiveness, we're to still practice forgiveness. Verses 17 also tells us that we're to walk in faithfulness. This is a command to live a beautiful life. We're called upon to be faithful in the sight of all men by living the kind of life that brings glory to the Lord. The life we live should be a thing of beauty to those who observe it, and it should be a life of beauty to the Lord. The life we live should be a thing that gives Him glory. The Lord sees every move we make. Nothing is more God-honoring and beautiful than a faithful life serving Him. Now in verses 18 through 21, we see our affections toward the brethren. So we've seen the actions toward the brethren, our attitudes toward the brethren, and now we see our affections toward the brethren. According to verse 18, we're to be peaceful. Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as lieth in you. You're not to be the instigator of something that is not peaceful. If you have anything to do with it, it's to be peaceful because we're to live as peaceful saints of God. Here, we're commanded to see that there is peace in the family of God. And God says that each person is responsible for their own actions in the matter. In fact, the verse implies that we're to go the extra mile without demanding the same from our brother. You are to offer the apology first without waiting on him or her before reconciliation begins. You and I are to take the lead in seeing that there is peace and harmony in God's family, and the idea is that if each believer will do his or her part, there will be no place for trouble and disunity in the house of God. Verse 19 calls us to patience. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Of course, the command here is obvious. We're not to take matters into our own hands. When we've been offended and our brother refuses to make it right with us, then we're to leave the matter in the hand of God. It's not our place to get revenge. It's not our place to extract our pound of flesh. It is our place to love them and to leave them in the hand of God. And the Lord saw everything that happened, and He will see that the record is set straight no matter what it takes. Now, verse 20, we see that we're to be positive. Be positive. Since the Lord will deal with fault, we are to take the lead in being a friend to our enemy. For verse 20 says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. The Lord would have us to reach out to them in love and humility. If they rebuff us, that is between them and God. We've certainly done our part. We've obeyed the Lord, and that's all the Lord asks. So instead of getting all down and out when we're done dirty by someone, we should seek to be like the Lord Jesus, who literally blessed his enemies as he died in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. That's godliness in action. That's Christ living in us for the glory of God. That is also something against which your enemy cannot compete. He will have an answer for your arguments, but he will have none for your love. He will be spellbound. Now, verse 21, Paul closes out the chapter and he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. A believer is to be pleasant. Don't be the kind of person who's always looking for something to be upset about. Sometimes we're like that. There are people like that. We've all had our times where we've been like that. Some people love nothing better than for someone to offend them, so they'll have an excuse for a bitter attitude. We've got to be a pleasant person by being Christ-like in every situation. You have no control over how you're treated by others, but Paul is saying here in this chapter, in these verses, you have absolute control on how you respond to them. You have absolute control over how you treat your fellow believer. We are to be pleasant, and God says, I'll bless your life. Well, how do you do that? And how do we look when we lay our lives beside the Word of God? Is there room for improvement in your walk with your fellow believer? If so, there's no better time than right now to make that adjustment in our lives so that we can be everything the Lord saved us to be. I personally don't think there's anything in the world harder than living with certain people. Some people never seem to like what you do. And since I can't control them, I'm left with nothing to do but to control myself. And so we must be honest about our own lives before the Lord. How do you look before Jesus? The world's more chaotic today than it ever has been. But God has not called us to be weathermen and only adjust our lives according to the climate of the world. God has called us to be Christ-like no matter what the world does. That's where we are today. That's what Paul is telling the church, that we should do that which pleases God no matter what. And that's what we should do in our lives in America as the Church of Jesus Christ. Is it going to be hard? Yes. Is it going to be difficult? Yes. Are we going to want to fight back? Yes. But God says, if you love me, be like me. Wow. Let's do all we can to please Him because He bought us. He owns us, and He's worthy of our love and our respect.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.